humorous hacks. It's a medical podcast. We're gonna teach you. We're gonna teach you things.
Humorous hacks. A medical podcast. We're gonna teach you. We're gonna teach you things.
Hey.
Welcome to this week's special edition of Humorous Hacks, brought to you by basically everyone sitting around this table right now.
Hello, we've got Sarah, Karen, and...
Pass the tomato sauce.
Gab, and...
Benny.
And...
Josh.
And...
Yoshi.
Hey, guys!
Hey!
Hello!
We all just ate delicious Korean bibimbap.
It's bibimbap?
Sorry. And now we want to...
Speaking of bibimbaps.
Bibimbaps. Now we're going to talk about butts. More specifically, the anus.
The anus. This week's episode is all about anal pathology, everyone's favorite topic.
Everybody was so excited that they decided to hang around after dinner and just join in.
Yay. So what do you guys know about the butt? What do you know about anal pathology?
There's an inner and an outer sphincter.
Nice.
Actually, so our special guest star today, Benny, has actually made a great song about this. It was infamous like 5 years ago.
Do you remember your song?
No.
Just improvise it.
What?
What song? You made the song.
Which song?
About the internal sphincter and the external sphincter and the way to remember it.
Was that
the
end?
No, I don't know.
Does it go like the internal sphincter
was in Valenti.
Oh, yeah.
And the external sphincter is Valenti. And together they make up the defecation reflex. Now it's time to go and do a number two.
Oh my god, Karen!
I don't think I made that up, but it's a really good way to remember about
the Wait, can we go through it again? So, the internal sphincter is involuntary, and the external sphincter is voluntary, and together they make up the defecation reflex. Now it's time to go and do a number two.
Because the internal sphincter with an I is involuntary. They start with the first two letters, which is in.
That's a humorous hack.
Oh dear.
Benny, you definitely made this up.
Well, I'll take the credit for it.
Yeah.
I guess it was like a good 5 years ago. Yeah. Could have been longer.
This is Benny's legacy.
This is my legacy.
Alright, tell us something about anal pathology. Hit us with what you know.
What's your favourite part of the anus?
That's a bit personal.
That is a tough question. I don't know.
Maybe. I've already said mine. Okay. Sphincters.
Yeah. I like the mucosa. Yes.
Mine's the dentate line.
What's the dentate line?
Oh,
line.
Isn't that like
well, that's
a little
bit
dentate
precocious,
line.
Isn't it?
Ooh. Precocious. Isn't it the bit between the yes. internal and external mucosa? Hey, we've got another guest joining us to talk about anus.
Get in.
Come on,
Asin.
Get in here to say hello.
Is this a little cameo guest appearance?
This yes,
is
it is.
A cameo guest appearance about, we're doing anal pathology this week.
Oh,
so what's your
lovely.
Favorite part of the anatomy of the anus?
I don't think I have one. I haven't had a chance to think about this.
You don't have one yet?
Not one yet. Maybe just the opening?
What's
the
opening?
The rectum?
By the end of this episode, he will know what that
well,
is.
Well, yeah. Where are we at?
We're just at the start. We just started.
We're talking about the dentate line.
I like it because it makes me think of teeth, which makes me think of that movie where the vagina have
yes.
the teeth
oh,
and
yeah.
they and she like it kills people,
like,
but it's the butt.
Human centipede.
Similar to
human
centipede.
Teeth and butt.
Yeah, teeth and butt.
So now the rest of the episode is about human centipede.
So everybody turn around.
Okay, what do we need to know about the dentate line? Oh.
You tell me.
Does anyone here know about the dentate line?
Well, isn't that the place where the mucosa changes? So there's like the...
Yes.
There's the... I don't know what it's called, but there's
squamous.
A, oh, is it? Okay, the squamous cell and simple columnar epithelial cells.
Oh, very good. Yeah, so the columnar are the more internal ones and the squamous are the more external ones. And I just know that from the dentate line downward, you can feel that. You know? That's a bit you can
yeah.
feel. And a bit above, it's like...
Dentate, you can feel.
I remember squamous epithelium made no sense to me until, like, one day it just clicked. I feel like I've said this in a different podcast, but I'm going to say it again in case there's a dedicated listener who hasn't listened to all of them. Everything in the external part of you is squamous, like your skin is squamous, and then everything that kind of goes into you is originally squamous. So, like, The vaginal canal, squamous. The top part of your esophagus, squamous.
I feel the sun.
I feel the sun coming out.
Inside of the ear. Squamous.
Actually, do not know about it yet. But inside the rectum, the first part, well, the anus, the first part's squamous, and then you hit the dentate line, it's like, nah, fuck that shit, we're becoming simple columna.
Yeah, it's because everything that's like part of your intestines has to move. That's what I think of it. So it's like columna, like little fingers, because it's like, I've got to move shit down.
Yes.
Oh, that does make sense.
I don't know. Benny ran out of battery, so he has to leave now. See you, Benny.
No,
it's like Survivor.
There might be an important message there that
you
I'm not going to get.
The weakest link.
That's the weakest link.
The relevant part of it being squamous epithelium, I think, is quite relevant when you're talking about HPV, right? Because HPV, otherwise known as human papillomavirus, right? Otherwise known as the thing that causes cervical cancer, which I always called cervical cancer, but it's definitely cervical cancer, if you have an Australian accent. But HPV can also affect the external aspect of the anus because that's squamous epithelium, which is what HPV...
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is that why guys get the vaccine?
Well, guys should get the vaccine anyway. The vaccine should be available to anyone. Yeah, the vaccine should be available to anyone.
All right.
Sorry, I figured out what the message was that I couldn't get because this is important for the podcast, but I couldn't get. It was telling me that... The credit card statement is available for this calendar month. So anyone who was worried listening to the podcast, don't panic. It's all okay.
This is so exciting having guests on the show.
I know.
Do you guys often have guests?
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes, but not like...
Usually planned guests.
Yeah, usually professional guests. Usually. Not like sleepy, full of food.
Yeah. We don't normally hijack people with a recorder. We thought... apt to do it this time.
Everybody
was
going to
isolate all family members and friends by just putting them on your podcast at random times in your life.
And talking about anuses. It's only about anuses.
Yeah.
For family and friends.
It's just the perfect week to have random guests.
Just a sideshow that's all about anuses with random people.
Do any of you want to tell us anything about hemorrhoids or anal fissures or basically all the fun things that this podcast episode's about?
Well, hemorrhoids are very common. A lot of people have them, and they cause bleeding. That's all I've got to add.
Painless bleeding.
Or painful.
Or painful.
Depending on whether it's above or below.
Below the
dentate line.
So good.
For our listeners, can you explain that more in depth?
So the external hemorrhoids are the ones that are below the dentate line and that cause pain. Whereas the internal hemorrhoids are above the dentate line and don't cause pain.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my first hemorrhoid the other day.
Ever.
Yeah, how was that?
Ever. It was a bit exciting because I diagnosed it myself.
Whoa. Oh.
Thanks. Thank you. And then I prescribed her some Aperients to go home with.
Just so for those who don't know, Aperients is laxatives, and I found that out way too late in the game.
And it's spelled with one P, not two.
What?
I thought it was two P's.
Oh, okay.
It's definitely one P.
I'm pretty sure it's one. Because it tricked me up for a long time. Okay, so it's Aperients.
Why did they just say laxatives? Everyone knows laxatives.
No, Aperients like a nice word.
Yeah.
Then I also gave her some steroid cream to use sparingly if her laxatives didn't help.
Sparingly.
Is there a reason you have to use it sparingly? Why can't you just like?
I think it
go
causes
nuts?
Skin atrophy.
Ooh.
Yes, it makes the skin very, very thin.
Yeah.
Very, very thin.
Yeah. What's the steroid cream called that we use? I don't know.
Like hydrocortisone 1%.
Ah, nice.
Nice.
And like
lignocaine. I looked it up on best practice.
Well,
that is some good evidence-based practice.
The best.
Do you guys remember Talon O'Connor's quote about PR exams?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes!
No, abdominal examination is complete without a rectal examination unless the patient has no anus or the examiner no finger.
How amazing if the doctor really didn't have a finger.
So good.
Just where you'd have to have no fingers.
No fingers at all. I'm saying that's not possible, but...
It'd be kind of hard to do a rectal exam with your pinky, your thumb.
Mm.
Yeah. But you should at least try, according to Italian.
Incidental fisting.
Okay, so when you start off, like anything towards anal pathology, right, you've got to ask a whole series of questions. So you have to ask about bleeding, which Gab spoke about. You've got to ask about pain. And you've got to ask really, really specific things about the timing of all those things. So is it bleeding when you defecate, when you don't defecate? Is it on the stool? Is it on the toilet paper? Is it on the bowl? Is it bright red? Is it dark red? How much blood is there? And for anyone who thinks that, you know, like they've gone to the toilet and the bowl was covered in blood, it really, like if you put like a drop of blood in a glass of water, the whole water is red. It's got like, it's like really strong cordial. So a little bit of blood looks like a lot of blood.
You have to ask them how many tablespoons.
That's what I always... Hey, I can't even cook. I don't even know what a tablespoon is.
Not a teaspoon?
No, tablespoon. So you don't measure the blood.
Yeah.
Unless it's one tablespoon, I don't care.
So then you have to ask, well, is it ever painful? Is it painful when you defecate? Is it painful after you defecate? Has it always been painful? And then also having to ask all the questions about stools. So they're constipated. Are the stools changing recently? Because a change in bowel habit...
is bad.
Is habit. Bad.
As they say.
Change in bowel habit is a bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
I hear another song coming on.
Yeah, okay. So those are all the questions we asked about bleeding from the bum. And then what's next?
Are they constipated?
Mm.
Are they straining?
Straining.
Have they
coughing.
Got a, have they got a, what do you call it? Squatty potty?
Oh my God, I really want one of those.
Let's just talk about squatty potty. So let's squatty potties.
Have you guys seen all the videos for squatty potties?
Yes.
Everyone's seen them, right?
You know where I first heard about the squatty potty?
On RuPaul's Drag Race?
No, not on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Sorry.
On Shark Tank.
Oh.
You know Shark Tank, that program where people, aspiring entrepreneurs, they pitch their business ideas to investors. Explain to anyone on the podcast
actually
who doesn't
from
know.
The show.
It's an excellent show. 9:30, Channel 9's this.
Yeah, is it still going?
No, I don't know. But
bring it back.
It's a really good show. I
but
really
they
enjoy
had the squatty potty on
the
it.
The squatty potty was on there, and it was a really good idea.
It's amazing. I really want to buy one. Just
basically,
heads up, guys, I bet it's in 3 months.
I've started reading Gut, the book you gave me.
Yes.
About it, and if you don't have access to a squatty potty, you just put a little stool where your feet are. So, yeah, it was to do with, what was it? The little muscle.
Yeah, it's like the
anus.
Kink in
the
levator.
The pubic rectalis, I think.
Oh, nice. It was the levator ani. I can't remember.
One of
those I'd be happy for you to have this one.
But essentially the muscle causes like a kink in your bowel rectum area when you're sitting in a normal Western toilet, and then if you elevate your feet, it like really like smooths out.
Yeah, so
out
if you don't have
kink.
A squatty potty, you just put a little stool under your feet and you can get the same effect.
Although squatty potty claims to have a better, more scientific effect. But the point is never be constipated or else you'll get hemorrhoids.
This, yeah.
And the point is all the pictures that say you can't sit on the toilet that way probably are not evidence-based.
Mm, they just... Our toilets aren't designed correctly.
Yeah.
I once asked a doctor if constipation was worse or diarrhea was worse. Like, what's worse? I was like, surely constipation's worse because then you get hemorrhoids and there's like a greater risk of cancer, I think. No, yes, I don't know. We should verify that.
No.
I feel like it's just bad for you to constipate a lot. Anyway, I was like, yeah. And then the doctor looks at me and goes, you know, diarrhea kills like millions of people all the time.
Fuck. Yeah.
But hemorrhoids.
I've had a problem going back to the squatty potty. I don't know if it's relevant to the podcast. No, but I have a personal experience where one time I was on the toilet and I was quite constipated and I didn't have a stool or a squatty potty. I didn't have a stool or a squatty potty in the vicinity, but I was like on the toilet and I like wanted to like lift my legs up to help the stool pass more freely.
Anatomically.
Yeah, more anatomically freely through the rectum. And I ended up using this as a fun trick. I got two toilet rolls and put them on the ground and then put my feet on it to give me like that extra like 5 centimeters. Oh, and it changed my pooing experience.
We
it
just
was amazing.
High-fived.
Yeah.
The best type of toilet paper rolls to use is Who Gives a Crap.
Mm. Yeah.
Who Gives a Crap? Premium? Worth the extra $8.
Wait, what's the premium?
What's
one?
The difference?
It's an extra $8, 100% bamboo.
Wait,
ooh.
Bamboo?
Can't go wrong.
I don't want to wipe my butt with bamboo.
Yes, you
That's
can.
What you think.
All right, everybody go around and say one way to treat hemorrhoids. Go.
Appearance.
Okay.
Surgery.
What sort of surgery? Which one do you choose, Betty Player?
That's a good question. As in, you can tie them off in surgery and then like cut off their blood supply and they can't come off full off themselves. I don't know what it's called.
Banding.
Rubber band ligation.
Because I spent a whole afternoon holding open bum holes so that the doctor could band them. It was great. It was actually really fun.
That's the stuff you don't hear about our job. Yeah. It's not glamorous.
And the next type of surgery you can do?
Probably like hemorrhoidectomy. Yeah. Where you actually just like just to remove the veins.
Yeah. Which is crazy. It looks like they're pulling out like worms.
Yeah.
Because it's all of
like, hemorrhoids are just like veins. They're like varicose veins in your butt. That's what hemorrhoids are.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Can you like diathermy them? Like sclero...
I think you use like the diathermy as well as like excising the whole vein.
Sure.
Because they've sort of lost their competency. They're done for. And you don't need them anyway, apparently.
I think one thing we haven't mentioned yet is this lifestyle changes. So like not sitting on the toilet for as long, not straining as much.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, a classic young person thing. You sit there on the phone, you sit there on the toilet and you like watch a movie, like an hour long movie on the toilet. And then like, you're like, why am I don't have such terrible hemorrhoids? Because like you're straining like for 2 hours. Every day on the toilet.
Yeah. Just make sure you use antibacterial gel on your phone afterwards.
I heard a colorectal surgeon said to all his patients with hemorrhoids that they should only go to the toilet when they actually really feel like they need to. They shouldn't sit there and try to poo when they don't
really
feel the urge.
Only when the urge comes.
And the other lifestyle thing, sitz baths.
You're welcome.
I don't know why they just don't call it salt baths. But it's just like making a salty warm bath and sitting in it. And apparently it's good for your butt.
I haven't had a bath in years.
Next time you have a bath, make it a sitz bath.
I shall.
So if you don't have hemorrhoids but you're bleeding, what else could you have? Karen already talked about it a bit earlier.
A fissure. This is when it gets confusing because there's anal fissure and anal fistula. And they sound really similar. And actually, when I was writing the notes for this, I just copied the word anal fizz and then I just changed the last three letters. All it is.
Anal fizz coming up next.
Anal fizz.
So pretty much everyone who is female and a university age listening to this podcast, be aware that anal fissures are the most common in females who are university aged. Wow. Evidently. Yeah, it's a thing. I know.
Oh, no. That sucks. And they're so painful.
So painful.
It's like having a little tiny tear in your butthole, right?
Yes. Yeah, in the internal sphincter.
Mm. On the internal sphincter?
Internal sphincter, yeah.
I thought it was the external sphincter.
I also did. Internal sphincter.
But is the internal sphincter... So, like, I thought it was internal, so it's not so painful.
No, I feel like they're more external, though.
Well, this was up to date.
Okay.
burn. You want some aloe vera for that sick burn?
So what happens with anal fissures?
Anus.
I actually wouldn't recommend pawpaw cream. I never go along. Seriously, just Vaseline on all of that stuff for constipation everywhere.
I appreciate on this podcast that people are not only talking about medicine, but they're also talking from like personal experience.
That was not from personal experience.
My friend.
A friend of mine.
Schmera.
So what basically happens with anal fissures, just to give a bit of a background, is there's a little tear in the anal sphincter, internal, and it happens in the 6 o'clock position. So the way you know the clock is like, imagine someone lying on their back and their feet are up in kind of these stirrups, right? And you're looking straight at their butt. 6 o'clock is how 6 o'clock would be. So 12 o'clock would be towards their belly button. 6 o'clock would be towards their back. And that's where the tear happens, like straight at 6 o'clock. And it's like a little tear, and it happens if you've been constipated for a while, or if you like have IBS, for example, and you're like going to the toilet and having diarrhea, constipation, you go to the toilet like 5 times a day.
Mm.
And you got a little tear, and then it really, really hurts when you like defecate.
Shame.
Bad.
Yeah, seriously. People who think that, like, oh, anal fissure, that's not a significant part of this patient's medical history. It's like, come on, guys. Empathy. So same thing, kind of like laxatives, put them in the bath with some salt, a little Himalayan rock salt. Delicious.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Josh is just... Zooming. Oh, I thought you were making this like shape of an anus.
Yeah,
like,
you
just want to dilate the anus.
That's what an anus looks like.
Right? Karen can read the tiniest writing on her computer. This is an ongoing issue.
Because I've
I thought you did all of your podcasts off the top of your head.
We do.
Oh, well, let's not kill the magic here, shall we?
I like going behind the scenes.
Oh my god, it's like my dreams have been shattered.
We're only human. Gabby actually just discovered our podcast the other day. By accident. Turns out she likes it.
I'm such a weirdo. I like listen to you guys in the car on the way to work, and I like giggle a lot.
And now you're going to listen to yourself on the way to work and be like, oh god, why did I say that?
Never again.
So anal fissures have slightly different treatment to hemorrhoids. My favourite one of which is a cream called Rectogesic. Which is just it's just glycerol trinitrate.
Oh, trinitrate.
You should have just let her pronounce it like that.
No, I couldn't see her suffer anymore. Oh. It was like watching a wounded animal. Like the headlights, it's like just put it out of its misery.
Trinitrate.
Triceratops.
I'm ready.
It's GTN. Just say GTN.
Yeah, basically.
Is it just GTN?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's a vasodilator.
Wait, yeah.
It dilates the blood vessels.
It's like the opposite of what you want in hemorrhoids.
So yeah, it like literally is a vasodilator for your butt.
And yeah, and then it makes it not so taut when you pass a stool. Yes, and then it's not going to be as painful. And it will heal better.
Goosey.
Yeah.
Because you get lots of blood to the area because you vasodilate. Mm. All the blood's coming. It's like, we'll help you. We'll fix everything. And
it's too much.
But
do you know what the but? If you want to be like super impressive, do you know what you need to tell to a patient before you give them Rectogesic cream?
Put a glove on.
Why?
Because else you'll vasodilate yourself.
And you can get a headache.
Yeah, get like a massive, massive headache. So I think because you're it's a vasodilator, and then all the blood vessels in your brain are like,
that's a side effect of GTN too.
Yeah,
you can put a glove on what?
Your finger. So they get a headache.
On your friend's finger.
So you want to stop it from getting onto your hand?
Yeah.
Yes. Is that right? Because then you got 2 points of contact.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. And then if that doesn't work, you just go for what's the most relaxing? So the whole point of anal fissure is you want to really relax the butthole, right?
Names.
This is really incredible.
Nice.
Yeah. I was thinking more like Botox because. Yeah. That relaxes muscles.
Anal Botox.
But
is
your thing
right
was
now.
Good too. We should really start a study on that.
Anal Botox is literally a thing. It's a thing that happens. It's a thing that happens a lot. So Botox doesn't work. Do you know what you do after that?
More surgery.
Yeah, you do like a sphincterotomy where you basically cut a little hole in the sphincter at a different point, and because that's kind of a surgical cut, it allows the fissure hole, I guess, to heal. And then they both heal.
Mm.
But the risk of that is some people get really gassy, and they get really gassy for like the rest of their lives. So it's less than ideal.
Why would it make you gassy? I can imagine it would make your butthole just not as...
Yeah.
As competent.
Probably any bit of pressure, like any little bit of air would just pop out.
Ooh.
Because you
don't... Oh, right. I understand. So it's not like there's more gas inside, it's more gas coming out. Shame.
Like lots of little farts.
Well, as long as they're silent.
I mean,
you get away.
Surely, like, loud is better if they don't smell. I think smell is probably the worst characteristic than sound.
See, no, I would say silent is more important, but I work on a very smelly ward, so this just mixes in with everything else. Whereas if you're in surgery, then you've got to worry because people think you perforated the bowel.
So, what about anal fistulas? That's another topic.
Such a smooth segue. Anyway, are you sure you're not a radio presenter?
I'm sure.
Anal fistulas are not as common, thank God, because they sound like the absolute worst. Like, when I first saw one, it was like, oh, what's all this mucus coming out the side of the patient's butt? You're like, oh, no.
Wait, can you remind us what it is?
It's like from the rectum or from somewhere in the anal canal, a little track gets made and it goes out towards the side, and it's basically like another little passage that comes out and makes another hole and leaks out into your skin.
That would be an external fistula, wouldn't it?
Mm.
You can also get internal fistulas.
Mm-hmm. Like, but I think you can get them anywhere.
Yeah.
I think I saw a guy who had one, like a prostato-rectal or like a coloprostatic or something between, like, he'd had like a TURP or something and it hadn't healed, and then he had this little fistula between the prostate and the rectum.
It just ejaculates like... poo.
Oh my god.
Oh god. It's his weapon.
Oh my god, this episode is way more hardcore than Karen and I usually go.
I'm so glad we're like shooting poo.
We'd like to apologise to our
We're already on the R18 Plus on iTunes. They know we're hardcore.
We're explicit.
Yeah, we are.
Because we like having the option to swear, and also we forget when we've sworn, so we just always mark as explicit.
Is this R-rated?
I don't even know if we've said anything. Fuck.
No, there was one.
We've got it.
Okay, so if anyone's confused out there, right? A fissure is like a tear. A fistula is kind of like a connecting tube, kind of, or like really a connection between two different things.
I like to think of like a canal.
Yeah.
Yes, canal's a better word. So if anal fistula, it's like part of the rectum has a little connection to the outside skin that isn't the rectum. So it's just like a little hole beside the rectum. And mucus can come out. And
they're really chronic.
Yeah.
Irritating and difficult to fix. It's not as easy as a period.
And the perianal skin can be really excoriated and itchy. And these are often, this happens in, for example, Crohn's patients. Just a throwback to our IBD episode for more information about that one.
So for management, I think mainly it's just surgery.
Yeah, thinking about antibiotics as well, potentially. But yeah, definitely more of a big deal and definitely less common than hemorrhoids and fissures.
All right, what's next?
Pilonidal sinuses.
Another great segue.
This was probably the worst thing we all learned about.
I used to get so scared about getting these.
All of us. I feel like the week we all learned about this, we were all just like, what the fuck?
Everyone visited their JP.
The first surgery I ever saw was a pilonidal sinus drainage. And then I like never forgot about it.
Okay, what is it? Explain to our audience.
It's like a little ingrown, like often starts by a little ingrown hair, and then it becomes like infected, and then pus grows around it, and you have this little mucus sinus that's really painful right near the anus. And often needs surgical drainage.
It doesn't have to be an ingrown hair. It can be like hair from other parts of the body. Right. That's folded in.
Right.
I had hairdressers get it a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Not necessarily in the butt, but like, or if you've got really hairy and hair falls.
That makes me sad because
more hairy.
When when I used to live with my dog, I'd get like bits of her hair stuck in my foot, and I'd find it there like 5 days later, and it had been causing me like a lot of pain, but I'd never like been able to see it. How gross is that? I could have had it, but on my foot. That would be. But it's crazy how like a little foreign body can have such a huge reaction.
But it's not hair, which seems so benign.
It's not benign. Like when it gets wrapped around a tiny baby's like pinky toe, and then the toe auto amputates.
What?
Yes. What? That's for another time. Next episode.
What?
Yes.
Anyway, back to the anus.
I'm horrified.
A hair tourniquet.
Yeah.
Hair is very dangerous. We should all be bald.
Yes, and that will be our next health initiative. Shaving everyone. Wax all your over. Head. All over. Laser treatment to everything. All right. I think maybe we should wrap it up. Has everybody felt like they've learned something about the anus today?
Sure.
Okay, should we wrap up? Everyone say one thing they've learned or one take-home point.
I learned about the dentate line and that it's painless above and painful below.
Nice.
I learned to never just assume that rectal bleeding is just hemorrhoids, that you, even though it's the most common thing, you've always got to do a bit more investigation before you jump to that conclusion.
Very good.
If there's any suspicion of colorectal cancer, just do an FOBT where you can check if there's blood in the stool or a colonoscopy. I still remember in first at uni, I found out that one of the most common procedures that a hospital does is a colonoscopy. And I was so blown away, and I told everyone in med school, and everyone was like, oh my god, And then like 2 months later, we're like, yeah, obviously. So sad. So new.
I learned this week that you can like look for colorectal cancer on like people of any age. And like if somebody comes to you with like anemia and you don't know why, like even a young girl in their like 20s or 30s, you would probably do a colonoscopy to just exclude it because the repercussions are so severe. And I didn't know that.
What about you, Josh? What'd you learn?
My take home message probably would be that a PR exam is always required on an abdominal examination, unless, of course, your patient doesn't have a rectum or you don't have a finger.
Oh, I'll be honest, I don't think you learned that. I think you taught us.
Good job, Josh.
I just learned again that constipation is just the worst.
Diarrhea, probably more of a killer.
It is more of a killer. It's one of the leading causes of death in children under 5 in developing countries.
Okay, I agree. But I still think constipation just sucks because it causes a lot of complications. And people, I think it's one of the ones, because when people have diarrhea, everybody freaks out, put them in isolation, figure this shit out. But if someone has constipation, everyone's like, oh, I don't care. But it matters, and there's long-term consequences.
Yes, we do.
Lots of pear juice for everyone.
On the wards, you don't even realize sometimes if someone hasn't opened their bowels for like 5 days.
Yes.
And it's like, unless you're like looking at the bowel chart, like you won't know if some guy with dementia hasn't opened his bowels. That's
totally
important. Yeah, yes, really, and important. Pear juice, 200 mils BD.
Do you actually
I prescribe it almost every day, especially to myself. It's delicious.
Also, on that note, like someone can generally, in general, in their life, only open their bowels once every 3 days, and some people open their bowels 3 times a day. Normal is different for everyone, and sometimes people freak out. They're like, oh my god, I have it, I'm constipated, so I'm so constipated. And then you ask them, and they haven't had a bowel movement since this morning, and you're like, you're fine.
It's good to always to think about it as a change from the regular routine. So to think about what's, you know, a month ago, what was regular for you, and now has that changed?
Good. Wise words.
Thank
you. And a big, like, flag if, like, any exam question says, there's been a recent change in bowel habits. Think cancer until proven otherwise. Or OPO, UPO, until proven otherwise.
What
is that? What was that?
Nothing.
What about it? It's about to be cancer.
Okay. Yeah, on that note, I also asked that you should ask lots of questions about bleeding.
I'm gonna try again.
I learned that you should always ask lots of questions about bleeding.
My favorite note, and I'm totally gonna link up Gulia Ender's book with this, Sasha's video that she did, because she's so cool. She wrote this book about gut.
And that name again is Gulia Ender, right?
Yeah.
She's very charismatic for a medical student.
She's so charismatic.
She's a medical student.
And she wrote this book.
About the gut.
And she's actually really good, considering she's talking in German. I'm like captivated.
Isn't it pronounced Julia?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I like saying
it's Julia. It's ambiguous. It's with a G.
Yeah, but I think, anyway.
Trinita. So she said this thing, which kind of made a lot of sense to me. So basically what happens is the internal sphincter is involuntary, right? And so you don't have any control over it. So basically what happens is that the internal sphincter lets out a tiny amount of poo to basically see whether or not it's a good time to actually do a poo, and your external sphincter decides whether or not you're going to do the poo or not.
Really?
Yes,
this is so weird.
We'll post the video on our
Facebook. And then if the external sphincter is like, nah, mate, we're not ready for this, then it just like goes back in. Or if you need to do like a little bit of a little bit of gas goes past the internal sphincter. The area between the internal and external sphincter decide whether or not it's appropriate to pass gas, and if it's not, it holds it back in. So, like the take-home message for this...
Yeah, exactly.
The way smarter than the brain.
So smart. But what people don't realise, and I feel like this is something that everyone in the world needs to know, is the reason that this, like, a constant funny thing of people getting things stuck up their butt is because when it goes past the internal sphincter, it shuts involuntarily and you can't get it out. And that's why you need things that have a big ending that can't go through the internal sphincter.
So if you're going to put something up your butt,
it should have like an ending to it.
It should have like a little base. A base.
Yes.
Okay, that's a good take home.
And just a short understanding of anatomy would make life a lot easier.
It's So good. I'm just going to take this opportunity to first of all apologize for the audio quality of this episode. It's really annoying me, but I'm sure you guys don't care because it's been a raucous time. And also throw a shout out to the Medical Collaborative Podcast. They're a great podcast started out of a university in Melbourne, Australia, that talks to different specialists about their career pathways and is good for deciding what career pathway you want. But now back to the show. So anybody have a study hack they want to share with everyone?
My study hack. It's not really a hack, but what I used to do was I would, rather than start with writing notes and then do like practice questions later on in your study, to do it the other way around. So you start off by doing practice questions, and then you can, it's a good way to realize the things you know and the things you don't know. Mm-hmm. And so then really you don't need to sit and write notes and read up about the things you already know. You're getting the questions right about. So it means you can then focus your note writing and your studying on the things, on the questions you get wrong, and the things that you don't know about.
Love it.
I found that quite useful. Because it saves time. Otherwise, you're sitting there writing pages and pages of notes about things you probably already know about, because you can't know the things that you don't know. You know, the known knowns, the known unknowns, the unknown unknowns, yeah.
It's getting philosophical. I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
Flows of
it's an unknown unknown.
Yeah. My study hack would be, I don't know why I'm throwing this in when we already got a perfectly good one, but I was just thinking about it today, to always like associate your study with something else that you really like doing. For example, me would be having tea, and a different type of tea, some sort of delicious tea.
Me
and tea. So study equals tea, therefore study not so bad.
So I was going to say the same thing, but my association with study was studying with you, Sarah.
Aww. Sorry, I don't know if everybody heard that. Can you say it one more time?
I totally meant that in a mean way, that you didn't say me. Every time I studied with Sarah for 6 years.
Aww.
2 years.
And I was just using you for your tea.
Well, really good tea. This is having right
Thanks
now.
Thanks so much for everybody for coming today. Joining in on the podcast.
This is a time that in unison we all say don't stress.
Yeah.
Or we could say trinitrates.
Thank you, and as always,
don't stress.
Yay! And then we do the theme song again.
Humorous hats. We're gonna teach you things.
See you next time.
Humorous hacks. It's medical podcast. We're gonna teach you. We're gonna teach you things.